Would you take the word of God this morning and turn with me in God's word to the book of Psalms, and we're going to be taking a look at the 23rd Psalm. So Psalm 23, there are many portions of scripture that have brought great comfort in times of trials and difficulties.
But Psalm 23, perhaps, is the one that is most widely used and referred to in times of difficulty. I've even referred to this passage, maybe as I've visited some folks in the hospital just a few years back. I even think of how many times I've shared this portion with Carolyn Dowd that she loved. And no doubt there's great comfort in that. And so I'd like to give us some thoughts as we come here to the last day of this year. And I want to ask you this question before we begin. I'll end the message with this question as we read the statement, "The Lord is my shepherd. Is he yours? Is he your shepherd?" When we look back in our lives, there is great comfort. There will be great comfort in us being able to declare, "The Lord is my shepherd." And no doubt great and comforting words. If you're there and you find your place in Psalm 23, would you please stand with me? Six verses in the Psalms, and we'll read the entire Psalm. Psalm 23, beginning in verse 1. And the Word of God says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I'd like to bring your attention here to the wonderful opening words of this psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd." I'd like to preach on those words this morning. "The Lord is my shepherd." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are our great shepherd. We thank you because you watch over our souls. We thank you because we come to the end of a year and we declare with certainty that you have been faithful to us. We look back at times when we think about our failures, our struggles, and yet we consider at the very same time that you abide faithful. So Lord, I pray that you would help us to rejoice in who you are and what you've done for us and the state that you desire for us to be in as we live in this present world. We are grateful, Lord, that we do not have a high priest that is not touched with the feelings of our infirmity. But Jesus Christ was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And we're grateful that you know and you minister to us and to our needs. So Lord, help us to rejoice as we come to the conclusion of this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I mentioned here, as we consider this psalm, there is a reference to the psalm often occurs at a funeral. It often occurs when you might go visit somebody in the hospital and they say, "Well, would you recite to me Psalm 23? And certainly I believe that that's appropriate in those times to mention this psalm. Often we think about verse 4 when it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And it is appropriate for us to think in the time when we might face, the time when we might meet the Lord at a very near time, to think about those words. But David, when he is penning those words, he's not penning those words, I believe, on his deathbed. He is penning those words as we think about early on in his life when he had many enemies against him before he even became the king of Israel. Saul often would chase him like a dog. He was out to kill David, and lies were going and spreading about David and his intent towards Saul. And we know on many occasions that David came near death's door if he had fallen in the hands of Saul. And to him, he felt that he was in the valley of the shadow of death. And in that sense, we might think that there are times in our lives when we might think there is no hope. Is there any end to this? Is anything going to change? And here David can echo those words. By the way, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then he proceeds to show how the Lord has been his shepherd in the past. And often when we are in the midst of difficulties, we might not be able to declare in those moments, "The Lord is my shepherd." But by and by, we will get to the other side and we will say, "The Lord is my shepherd, and here is what he has done for me in the valley of the shadow of death." I'd like to consider three main truths that I would like to expand upon as we look in our text. The first thing that we will note is the focus of this psalm, by the way, is on the shepherd. The shepherd. And here we see the Lord is my shepherd. And so the focus here is on who the shepherd is, what the shepherd brings, what he provides for the sheep, and ultimately we will consider, in the greatest sense of all, the very presence of the shepherd. But the first thing we note in the text is the peace of the shepherd. The peace of the shepherd. If you notice the words, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." When we think about peace, when we think about here as he expresses all that the shepherd has done for him, it is important for us to remember that peace is going to be found not in our circumstances, but peace will be found in a person. The wonderful thing about the Christian life is that although we may be going through difficult times, although we may be going through the valley of the shadow of death, if the Lord is our shepherd, we can have great peace. And so the first thing we note is the peace of the shepherd. There are two things that we find in verse 1 as he begins to speak of his shepherd. First of all, he expresses his knowledge of the shepherd. His knowledge of the shepherd. If you notice here, he says, "The Lord is," that is an emphatic term. It is not that he hopes to find the Lord to be his shepherd. It is not that he has found at times the Lord to be his shepherd and at times the Lord has not been his shepherd. It is an emphatic expression, and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." I want you to notice three things as he expresses his knowledge of the shepherd. The first thing is he expresses the sufficiency of his shepherd. If you notice, we know here this is about his shepherd, but he identifies or he expresses who his shepherd is. He identifies him as the Lord. In your Bibles, you should have all of those letters for the word Lord, the name Lord, capitalized. L-O-R-D, Lord, which means Jehovah, the self-existent one, the self-sufficient one. When the psalmist says here, "The Lord is my shepherd," he expresses that by identifying that the shepherd is all-sufficient. He is all-sufficient because he is Lord. He is not saying here, and we are not saying that David is my shepherd, or that this person over here is my shepherd, but that the Lord, the one who is all sufficient, the one who can meet all of our needs, He is our shepherd. He not only expresses His knowledge about His shepherd, that He is sufficient, but also He expresses that His shepherd is proved. In this sense, that this is not a hope or a wish that David has. He expresses here by saying, by using the word is, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, in that this shepherd has been proved. He is not hoping that the Lord is going to be his shepherd in the dark times. He is saying, I know today that the Lord is my shepherd because I have found him present in the valley of the shadow of death in the past. And so I can declare emphatically today that the shepherd that I have has been proved. Not only is he sufficient, he is proved, but lastly, he is personal. Do you notice the words? He doesn't say, the Lord is the shepherd, although he is that. He is the great shepherd. That is who the Lord is. He gave his life for the sheep. We know he is the shepherd. But here in this way, he brings it to a personal level, and he says, the Lord is, notice, my shepherd. My shepherd. I will speak a little bit about along the same line, but we affirm today the omnipresence of the Lord. That the Lord, no doubt, is everywhere present. We cannot go to a place and not be seen by the Lord. Jonah thought he could have get away from the Lord, didn't he? And he found that although he was going the opposite direction from the Lord, he hid himself at the bottom of a ship. He was not hidden from God. But here the psalmist says, it is not expressing the omniscience of God. It is recognizing that the Lord has a personal interest in his life. He is my shepherd. Is he yours? You see, he expresses his knowledge of the shepherd, his sufficiency. The shepherd is sufficient. This shepherd has been proved, and this shepherd is personal. But there's a second thing he expresses on the tail end of this. As he says, not only the Lord is my shepherd, he says, he expresses then his state under the shepherd. What is the state, his state under the shepherd? Notice, the Lord is my shepherd. He says, I shall not want. I shall not want. The word want here means, if you think I am in want, that would have been the expression, I'm in want. That means I am in need. I have lack of something. I am in need of something. And here I'm talking in the sense of needs and not desires. When he says, I shall not want, says, I've got everything that I need from the Lord. I do not lack anything. This declaration is a statement that is based upon his experience. He says in the present, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I know that as I move forward in my life, God is going to be sufficient for me. That God has been proved, that God is my personal shepherd. But then in verse 2 and 3, he goes back in the past and he shows how God, as his shepherd, has been faithful. And so therefore he expresses his state, his current state under the shepherd, based upon his experience. The subsequent verses reveals the experience of David in his life and what David found to be true about his shepherd, the Lord. He expresses his state under the shepherd. I shall not want. He says that I'm going to continually abide in a state of satisfaction. I'm going to continue to abide in a state of peace. I'm going to continue to be able to say and to declare again and again and again that the Lord is my shepherd. And I know that in whatever state I find myself, I shall not want. I will find, I know, everything I need in the Lord. You see, we must affirm this before the valley of the shadow of death comes. We must affirm this today, because if we don't affirm this today, we might forget when we go through the valley of the shadow of death. I shall not want. We not only see here the peace of the shepherd, but we also see, secondly, the provision of the shepherd. He lists a number of things in here to express the fact that this shepherd has been proved. I'm reminded of David when he went to go fight before Goliath, and he volunteered himself, and Saul had told him, he says, you're not able to go out, you've not proved this armor, and so on. But you remember what David said? He said, when he was a shepherd, the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, and the Lord will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. You see, David himself, being a shepherd, he knows a little bit about shepherding, and he has seen how God has helped him to save and to deliver his sheep when he watched over the flock of his father. And so here he speaks of experience when he says, if you notice here the language that he uses, the psalmist brings our attention to something that the Lord has done, but also to something that the Lord is always doing. Notice the words, he maketh me. This is the idea here, this truth in the way that he uses the words here. He maketh me, verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me. He brings our attention here to something that the Lord has done and is always doing. He leadeth me. It's not, well, he led me in the past, so I don't know that he's going to lead me today. Well, he made me in the past, but I don't know that he's going to do that today. No, he maketh me. He has done that, and he will continue to do so. You see, it is an ongoing verb. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me. That's what God has always done, and that's what God will always do, because he is my shepherd. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so here's the provision of the shepherd that he expresses. I want you to notice four things that the shepherd has done for David. First of all, we see that the shepherd has given him peace. Or let me say first, rest. Notice verse 2. He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. What he is communicating here is the fact that he has found rest in the Lord. Often we think, well, God, the shepherd brings the sheep to green pastures so that they can eat. That's not what he says here, although I agree with that. He doesn't say, he brought me to green pastures so that I can eat and be filled. He says, he maketh me to lie down. And let me just say, sheep do not eat lying down. He has brought them to a place of rest. If you hold your place here, go back with me to one of the earliest Psalms. One of the earliest Psalms. Notice Psalm 4. The psalmist here speaks of a time of distress in his life. And I want you to notice here how the psalm develops. This is a testimony in another psalm of the Lord maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Notice Psalm 4. Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and what? Sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. You see, in his distress, here is what he found. The Lord was able to give him rest. The psalmist was able to sleep because the Lord was his shepherd. You see, the Lord is able to make us lie down in green pastures. He wants to bring us to a place of rest. And the truth is, here is how often we live our lives. We live often busy lives. And you know what busyness often brings in us? Agitation. Where we are agitated. The idea here of the shepherd bringing the sheep into green pastures. The pastures would mostly be those flat areas, those safe areas, those places where the shepherd can look over. The place, by the way, where the sheep feel that they are safe. Often the green pastures would be a broad place where you can see afar out. And the sheep would have confidence in that moment that the shepherd is looking out for the wolves that are coming. And therefore the sheep, under the eye of the shepherd, can find rest. They don't have to be fretting about the wolves. They don't have to be fretting about the bears. They don't have to be fretting about the lions because they are in green pastures. They are in the place of safety under the eye of the shepherd. You see, the opposite would be, as the shepherd often would bring their flocks, they would take them through mountainous areas, and often it would be difficult for the shepherd to have to see all of the sheep at the same time through the crevices and through the narrow ways and the narrow path. But then when they came to the green pastures, the sheep would feel in safety. They no longer have to wonder what's lurking behind a rock. They don't have to be afraid of what comes around the corner. They are in green pastures. The place that is open, the place that is under the eye of the shepherd, the place of safety. And it is in that place that the sheep find rest. If you notice the way he uses the word, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. It doesn't say, well, he brought us there and we lay down. He maketh me to lie down. It is God that gives rest. It is the shepherd himself that gives rest. I want you to notice every one of those provisions from the Lord are directly connected to his person. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. The shepherd gives rest, but secondly, the shepherd gives peace. Notice he says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. And often we may look at this, well, it's about giving them drink. No, it's not about just giving them drink. He says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. It's not just about drinking. It's about being at peace. You see, often if you'd have a creek or a river bank and the river was agitated and boisterous, often it comes after the rain where the rivers is quite boisterous and there may be times when you may be able to cross the river. At other times, you may not be able to cross the river. But the point is, if the river is rapidly flowing through, the sheep are not going to approach the river. Why? Because they're afraid. That if they step into the water, they're going to be carried by the current. And he says, the Lord has led me by the still waters. He has brought me to a place of peace. He's brought me to a place of rest in the green pastures. He's brought me to a place of peace by the still waters. And obviously in the green pastures you eat and you're filled. Obviously, when you come to the still waters, your drink and your thirst is quenched. No doubt those things are true. That's why he says, I shall not want. I shall not be in need. The shepherd has met all of my needs because he has brought me to a place of rest and he has brought me to a place of peace. Could I encourage you this morning, if you, your soul, is seeking for rest, if your soul is agitated and not at peace, make the Lord your shepherd. Find him to be your shepherd. The shepherd gives rest. He gives peace. There's a third thing the shepherd gives. He gives strength. Notice he says in verse 3, he restoreth my soul. The word here, restore, means to turn back. It means to recover, to refresh, to relieve. He restoreth my soul. And obviously here where we have this illustration of the relationship between a shepherd and the sheep, which is a likeness of the Lord's relationship with us and what he does for us. But we know that we are not sheep and we're not eating grass and we do not drink from our mouth at the riverbank. But we're talking about the soul being at rest. We're talking about the soul being at peace. And here he says, he restoreth my soul. The word means to turn back. And often we have to be aware that the sheep are quite stubborn animals. That's why often the shepherd will have a sheepdog. The design of the sheepdog is to keep the sheep together, not to let them go astray. And so the sheepdog, he watches over and he sees that when a sheep or a little lamb goes astray, the shepherd will echo a call, which would mean the dog is paying attention and the dog runs and brings the sheep back to the fold. Often they are stubborn. We're going to talk in just a moment about the rod and the staff. And sometimes the shepherd has to use the rod and the staff to bring the sheep back into the fold. Doesn't Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray, which shows us the tendency of sheep. And the Bible uses sheep as likeness of men and their stubbornness to go astray. You know what the Lord does as our shepherd? He restores our soul. He wants us to turn back, to come back into the fold. You see, notice here, this takes place in the soul. You see, our soul needs to be recovered. It needs to be refreshed. It needs to be relieved. The Bible speaks of those who are pastors within the church. He says, you know, obey them that have the rule over you. Why? Because they watch for your souls, for your soul. God is interested in your soul. We're not talking here about God giving us so much money that we can't take it anymore. We're talking about God, our shepherd, ministering to our souls. The shepherd gives rest, peace, and strength. But also we see that the shepherd gives direction. Verse 3, at the second end, he said, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. I want you to notice two things about the shepherd when he gives direction. First of all, we see that his paths are distinct. Notice he says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. This is not just that the Lord leads us, although he does, but his paths are distinct. They are the paths of righteousness. There is a way which seemeth right in the eyes of men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You see here, the paths of the Lord are distinct. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. You see, often we want to do our own thing. We want to tread our own course. And we do not allow the Lord to give direction and to lead us. And often people speak of the leading of the Lord, but I will say this with as much carefulness and compassion as I can, that just because you've decided something does not mean the Lord agrees with it. You know, often people may come and say, well, Pastor, we want your advice. And I can tell immediately that they do not want my advice. They just want me to agree with what they're doing. And if I give them a Bible principle, they'll say, well, that's not the way the Lord's leading me. And I want to say, as careful as I can, that's not the Lord leading you if it's not the path of righteousness. You see, the paths are distinct, but also we see that his leading is for his glory. Now, I say this because if we're not careful, we might come to the place where we say, well, I want the Lord to lead me as long as I know that it will be for my benefit. That is not why the Lord leads us. God leads us not primarily for our benefit. He leads us for his glory. There's a difference. There's a difference. You see, because if we think that we are led so that God can somehow benefit us, well, as soon as we think that we have not benefited from the Lord's leading, we will forsake the Lord's leading. But if we see that this is for the glory of God, then although we may go through unpleasant times here, the valley of the shadow of death, if our main concern is his glory, then we are in the right place. You see, the shepherd gives rest, he gives peace, he gives strength, but he also gives direction, which is distinct, and it is for his glory. By the way, I do believe, we just sang a moment ago, I don't want to sound like there is no benefit in following the Lord. There is great benefit, but it doesn't mean no trouble. It doesn't mean no opposition. The suffering of this present life are there. They're not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There is suffering in this life, and there is great benefit. I think we'll be able to sing at the end of the road, if we've been faithful to the Lord, it will be worth it all when we see Christ. I believe we will say that. Even though we've gone through times of struggles and difficulties in the valley of the shadow of death, we will find that the Lord has been faithful, and that all of it in the end will say was for his glory, that he might be glorified. And so we need to be more interested as sheep to our shepherd. We need to be more interested in his glory than our comfort. There's a third thing we see. Not just that the peace of the shepherd, the provision of the shepherd, but thirdly, the presence of the shepherd. And this is what this psalm, I believe, is all about. He says in verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Here is the main thought. "For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I want you to notice those words. "For thou art with me." That is the presence of the Lord. You remember when David went on the side of the mountain and Saul was chasing after him with his armies? And then he was about to overtake David. And then word came to Saul. And David was said, "This is it. This is the end." And word came to Saul, "The Philistines are coming against you." And right when he was about to apprehend David, he had to leave. You say, well, Where was the Lord? Did God thunder down lightning upon Saul? No, he did not. But God intervened. And in that moment, David was able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord was right there with David. The presence of the shepherd makes all the difference. We note four things about his presence. The first thing we note is that his presence is there in our darkest hour. You notice verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." That is the darkest hour. We may look back at the life of David, and we may think about a few times when it was the darkest hour for David. We might think as he was trying to please Saul and to calm Saul, and he played and he sang for him, and Saul grabbed a hold of his spear and tried to kill him. Dark hour. David had to run for his life. Counselors came to Saul and accused that David was trying to overthrow Saul, and he was not. But those false witnesses, the false testimonies were whirling out against David, and that was a dark hour when David was on several occasions had nowhere to go and didn't know what he was going to do, his darkest hour. When he went to go fight and he came back to his home and his wife and children were gone. Dark hour. His own men who had followed him all those years were ready to stone him. Dark hour. In his darkest hour, the presence of the Lord was there. You see, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Can I encourage you today, and as a pastor, I pray for you, and I know that people go through difficult and dark times. And the truth is, as much as I can pray for you and be there to visit, I'm not God. And I will never be able to bring comfort to you like God can. And where I cannot be, He will always be there. He will always be there. His presence is there in our darkest hour. Secondly, we see that His presence relieves us from all other fears. He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." His presence relieves us from all other fears. You see, I've said this many times, and I've heard this. I didn't originate this statement, but it's helpful. Peace is found not in the absence of trouble. Peace is found in the presence of Jesus Christ. You see, the fear of God, when we have a fear of God and a recognition that He is there with us, the fear of God relieves us from all other fears. The reason why He says, "I will fear no evil," is based on the truth, "For thou art with me." His presence relieves us from all other fears. You say, "Pastor, I've gone through this and I've gone through this. I'm going through a trial at this very present moment. And I'm fearful because I don't know what tomorrow holds." But can I say, we know who holds tomorrow. And we know that the Lord will be with us. His presence relieves us from all other fears. You see, God has designed life not that He might smooth out our path so that there is no difficulties through it. God is not necessarily in the business of removing all the trouble from our lives, as some preachers may say. God is in the business of going with us through the trouble. Going with us through the trouble. And the great comfort that we can find is not going to be when everything is well. The great comfort we can find in the shepherd is when we are going through a dark hour. So we see that His presence is there in our darkest hour. His presence relieves us from all other fears. But also we see that His presence is personal. Notice He says, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with," notice, "me." You see, it is a confidence not just in the omnipresence of God, although that is true. That God is everywhere present. He knows all things. He is everywhere. He can hear all of our prayers at the same time. Yes, God is omnipresent, but that's not what He is confident in. He is confident rather in the personal presence of the Lord. "Thou art with me." He doesn't say, "Thou art ever present. Wherever I am, you will be there." No, "Thou art with me. You've been with me all along. I have never been alone." You know, trials often bring those thoughts into our minds. "I'm alone. Nobody knows. Nobody's gone through this." Can I say the Lord knows? And He is touched with the feeling of your infirmities. And He knows. You see, the interest of the Lord is always personal. That's what we learned at the moment of salvation. Not that Jesus died for the whole world, but that He died for me. And so is His ministry as a shepherd to us, that we can say, "Thou art with me." But there's a fourth thing that His presence gives. His presence is expressed. by using his rod and his staff. So we see that his presence is there in our darkest hour. His presence relieves us from all other fears. His presence is personal, but fourthly, his presence is expressed using his rod and staff. Notice he says, and we may look negatively upon the rod and the staff here in just a moment, but notice the context. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, when I'm in my darkest hour, and it might be the tendency of the response of my body to be in fear, I know that God is with me. And here's how I know that God is with me, is because he expresses his presence this way, by using his rod and his staff. Now, we're not speaking here of a literal one, although the picture is literal. There's a rod and the staff, and we associate those pieces of furniture as being literal, as a shepherd exercising those with his sheep. And let me give you, they're two different things. There's a rod and a staff. Let me refer to first to the staff. The staff is typically a longer stick, longer piece of wood. It is thinner, pretty thin usually, but there is a hook or a crook at the top end of it. All right, so it loops around with a gap. So it's not a perfect circle, but it kind of is a hook. If you think about a question mark, that's what it would look like. That's a staff. The shepherd uses his staff for direction. In other words, if you would look at a shepherd, the shepherd leads the sheep. He has his staff in hand, and the sheep, they follow the shepherd. Often, the reason why there is a hook on the end of the staff is that if a sheep begins to go astray, the shepherd will reach with the end of his staff, wrap it around the sheep's neck, and gently draw him back in the right direction. And so the shepherd uses the staff for direction to lead. And so it may be just him walking, the sheep are following, and they see the staff and they follow the staff. He may use it at times to correct the direction of the sheep, to bring them along, to come in a sense around them and to say, you're not going in the right direction, would you come this way? It is a gentle rebuke. The shepherd uses his staff for direction. You see, direction in our lives is established by God, our shepherd. Keep the flock going in the right, God keeps the flock going in the right direction. Persuasion is not the same as coercion. Sheep are to be led. They're not to be bridled. God doesn't say they're like horses. No, we're not like horses. We're like sheep. You know a horse. You put a bridle in his mouth. The reason why you put the bridle in the horse's mouth is you want to coerce him to go in the direction you want him to go. That's not how the sheep work. You don't put bridles in the mouth of sheep. You lead them with a staff. And the shepherd leads us. By the way, God often intervenes, but can I say most of the time, he simply directs us, wants us to follow him. He never coerces us. In other words, God is merciful. He is long-suffering. In my estimation, it makes him that much worthy to serve. That he said, would you follow me? Would you hear my voice? My sheep hear my voice. I call them, they follow me. You see, occasionally sheep need to be rescued. Often, if a sheep would be stuck in a crevice, the shepherd would grab his staff and he would come around the sheep's body and he would pull him with the staff. And so it is used to lead the sheep. It is used to correct his direction, gently correct his direction. It is often used to rescue them out of a pit. Thy rod and thy staff, notice, they comfort me. But there's also a rod. The shepherd uses his staff for direction, for leading, for rescuing, but the shepherd uses his rod for correction. And what I mean by correction, there are really three words that we may have in mind when we think about the use of the rod. There's really three purposes. The first one is to protect. The second one is to correct or discipline. And the third one is to inspect. Now, let me give you three of them, all three of them. To protect, think about it this way, the sheep who are in green pastures, it may be that the shepherd sees a wolf coming. The rod was not like a staff. The staff was probably long, probably about this high with a hook on the end. The rod was probably typically about this long, a little thicker than the staff, but the rod would be used and the shepherd would be skilled. He would be skilled in whenever a wolf would come at a distance, he would be able to throw the rod and strike the wolf. He would use that rod as a way to protect the sheep. He would use that rod as a way to strike at the lion, to strike at the bear, to strike at the wolf who's coming after the sheep. That's what God does. That's what the shepherd does. And so he uses the rod to protect, to fight for the sheep. The Lord shall fight for us. You know, in Romans, he talks to the believer in Romans chapter 12, render not evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. That's what the believers do. If thine enemy hunger, feed him. Oh, it's too much for me. With the Lord's help, you can do it. Only with the Lord's help. It is not within human capacity to do that, but with the Lord's help, we can. The rod is used to protect. It is also used to correct. The rod would be used if the sheep would be so stubborn as he uses the staff to draw them and he's persistent and continues to go in the direction, he might use the rod to come alongside and to tap the sheep on one side. I'm not talking about, this is not a tap to injure the sheep. It is a tap gently on one side so that on the side that he was going, it's the wrong side. And you would tap him on this side, he would experience a sting so that he would go over in this direction. So the rod comes when the staff is not heeded to. And it is used to correct. We might say here and by the way, the Lord, how does he discipline us? I'll tell you how he disciplines us, how he always disciplines us, by the teaching and the preaching of his word. That's how he disciplines us. He says, you're going the right wrong direction, and he gently leads us. And when we're resisting, sometimes he might come along and tap us and say, you're not going in the right direction. I might have to use the rod. The rod is used to protect, to correct, but it is also used to inspect. Have you ever heard the expression, don't let somebody pull the wool over your eyes? What does that mean? Somebody's hiding something from you. When the flock would come back to, we might say, the stable or the place where the sheep would rest, often they would come in single file and they would come into an entrance that was pretty narrow, and the shepherd often, he would count the sheep as they would be coming in, and he would use his rod. One, two, three. But there's something else he used the rod for. You see, the sheep have a thick wool, and so he would plant often the rod in the wool, and he would gently part the wool, and he would look to see if there would be any disease or infection in the skin. He would simply part the wool to see if there is anything below the surface that was wrong with the sheep. Why? Because if there's something wrong, you can't see it. The wool is so thick. There could be a problem that you may not be aware of. And so the rod, yes, it is used to protect. The rod is used to correct, but it is also used to inspect. The Bible says that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know what God does by his word? He pulls the wool aside. He inspects us. James puts it this way. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, you see, the instruction is clear and the shepherd is there. You say, well, here is how we reconcile those truths. You see, the presence of the Lord is there in our darkest hour. The presence of the Lord relieves us from all other fears. And the presence of the Lord is a personal to each one of us, but his presence is expressed. How do we know that he is present with us? See, that's the question. How do I know that God is there with me? By his rod and his staff. Do you feel the Lord leading you in your darkest hour? Do you feel the Lord correcting you? Do you feel the Lord protecting you? Do you feel the Lord inspecting you? If you feel those things, that is the presence of the Lord. He is with you. So, the Lord is my shepherd. Is he yours? Is he yours?